Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's good to be with you here at Holy Innocents. My name is Ed Henley. I've been here many times over the years, so if you're new here, I don't know you, but I know many of you, and I'm glad to fill in this Sunday. Now, Father Brian's first week here was last Sunday, and I was down at Day Spring yesterday and looked in on the Curcio, and he says, and we want to be very clear, he will be back. He will be back next Sunday. So, in fact, he'll be back for the program, the service in the midweek. So he will be here. Today's lessons deal with our faith, and especially for us now, our Lenten faith, and the story of Abraham and Sarah is told, of how they would bear children and give birth to a multitude and many nations. What doesn't come through in the lesson from Genesis, and it just peeks through in the reference in Romans, is that this is a very funny story. God comes to Abraham when Abraham was 99 years old, and says to him, "Hi, Abram, you are going to be the father of many nations, father of multitudes. In fact, we're going to change your name. We're going to start calling you Abraham, which means father of multitudes. And we'll start calling you that. And you and Sarah, and Sarai, yet." And of course, he looks over at Sarah, and this hasn't worked out yet. They are an elderly couple. She is, in gentle biblical language, no longer of the manner of women, as it says. She's past her childbearing age, now Abraham, old father of multitudes, wasn't in the greatest shape either. And then God says to Abraham now, he says, "And as for Sarai, your wife, you'll now call her Sarah. Sarah shall be her name," which means princess. Okay, here's father of multitudes and princess now, getting ready to have children. And God tells them, not in this portion, but in another part, he says, "And you're going to name your child Isaac," which translates, you know, laughter, because this is a joke. This is God's joke on them all. And at different times, different ones of them will be caught laughing. When the visitors come and visit Abraham and Sarah at the Oaks of Mamre, you know, Sarah's hiding in the tent and she's listening to the visitors outside, and they reaffirm this story that you're going to be, you know, father and mother of a multitude of nations. And she muses to herself, and once again in delicate biblical language, she says, "Ooh, in my old age, I am to have pleasure." And so she's chuckling, and then the Lord who was present at these visitors says, "I heard you laughing." And she says, "Oh no, I didn't." He says, "Oh yes, you did." But actually, everybody was laughing. Abraham was laughing, Sarah was laughing, God was laughing, and they were going to have a kid, which was going to be appropriately named Laughter. And so this joke of God's promise, which would require great faith, because this is very unlikely stuff. No reasonable person would take a look at these circumstances and see that Abraham was going to be the father, and Noah was Sarah going to be the mother? But somehow, yes, it was going to come to be. And they were going to be the parents of many nations. Very unlikely, though, it would be. And whatever it took to have eyes of faith and to persist with the eyes of faith to see that this was going to come about. This story gets recapped wonderfully in the Epistle to the Romans as it speaks of this great faith of Abraham and Sarah, saying, hoping against hope. In other words, you weren't even all the way up to hope. You were one step away from hope. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations. So numerous shall your descendants be. And it says he did not weaken in faith even when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead. For he was about 100 years old, or when he considered this, the barrenness of Sarah's womb. It hadn't worked yet, but it was going to. And they were going to be parents of a multitude of nations. And in faith, they would move forward. Jesus is now talking with his disciples. And Peter has confessed him as the Christ. But Jesus is going to tell them that it's going to take faith beyond just the unlikely. Faith moving beyond the challenge of Abraham and Sarah. I've been here before. I know to just pause for a second. But the faith would go beyond what it took for Abraham and Sarah, because so much must be able to go wrong in the midst of the world in which we live that the challenge of faith must take it all the way to the limit. And so Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. That this was going to go the whole way. He did say, and after 3 days rise again. But I doubt if the disciples could even hear that, because of what Jesus had just told them, that he would undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. It said, and he said it quite openly. And Peter, that faithful disciple, the first one to hear and understand and perceive that he was the Christ, said to him, you know, he just said, he began to rebuke him. And he said, and Jesus then answers, get behind me, Satan, for you're setting your minds not on divine things, but human things. And Peter was rebuked by Jesus in the strongest words. Our faith, too, must be able to see beyond the worst. And we've experienced so much. I mean, as a nation now, we had a school shooting once again where young people died. Someone was going crazy and killed a whole bunch of people. And we're having to get our minds and our hearts around that and have faith persisting in the middle of it, and at the same time answer the call of God to labor for God's reign in this world. That means doing whatever we could do so that this sort of thing does not continue to happen, even though it has now happened again and again and again. And to have faith which sees all the way into the worst and trust that God's word will be the last word on this as well as everything else. And labor, doing all we can to usher in the reign of God in this world, whatever that means, whether that be political action or other actions that we might take to bring health and wholeness to our society. All of this is asked of us. And it began to be seen in that faithfulness of Abraham and Sarah. You will be the father of multitudes, and you will be the mother of multitudes. And in your old age, and in your barrenness, in all the disappointment of 100 years of life, you will now be fruitful and multiply. And keep your eyes on in faith. And keep your eyes on in faith, even as the one who brings the message of God to us undergoes great suffering, rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and killed. And on the third day, rise again, as God has the last word. Faith for our Lenten pilgrimage, faith for our Lenten walk, to see the promises even though we see them from a distance, and even though we have to walk through the worst, to maintain a faith in God, laboring for God's kingdom and living into God's kingdom, into God's reign, even in the midst of the worst that demands us to have faith that can see beyond the obvious circumstances. And so into this Lenten faith we are called, into this Lenten pilgrimage, knowing Abraham and Sarah had hope in God's promises, even though there was nothing that they could see in their circumstances that would show that they would be fulfilled and that they would be the father and mother of many nations. Amen.